From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys had a great weekend. I had a really great weekend. I got a ton of stuff done. Matt, how was your weekend, buddy?
It was pretty chill. It was a nice weekend.
Pretty chill, feeling good.
Nice and calm, feeling good to be back.
It's nice to be back, and I'll tell you guys why it's nice to be back. Because it's Mondays, and I love Mondays.
Behold, a fiendish masterpiece from the bowels of hell!
Yeah.
Mondays, boy, I hate Mondays. They make me so steamed. Weekends, I go for the weekends!
All right, if you want to get in on the conversation, 888-973-5476. I'm having some personal problems I need you guys' help with. There's actually a little situation I have going on with my wife right now I'm going to explain to you guys. Might be too much information, but she said she's fine with me talking about it because we really disagree on this, and I would love your opinion if you agree with me. If you don't agree with me, then don't feel you need to chime in. 888-973-5476. So we're about to have our fourth baby. It's very exciting. 2 months away. It's actually 59 days until we're supposed to have the baby. Although those things tend to come on their own time. So who knows when it's actually going to be. But, you know, I've talked about this on the show before. I at least have mentioned it, that one of the things that we have decided after this kid is that, you know, for us, this is the end of our, you know, family growing times. We're not going to be having any more babies. Who knows, maybe down the road, my wife might get her dream wish to come true, and maybe we adopt a baby girl. But we have four boys, and that's a pretty full house. So we have decided that, you know, we're just going to tie things up and make sure that, you know, things are snipped or whatever you do, whatever the situation is. So on that topic, the plan was that I would get a snipping, you might say. And I don't want to explain what it is, and it's very scary. In fact, recently, we just did a story last week about, you know, remember when New York had that earthquake? They had a 4.8 earthquake. There was that guy. Did you see that, Matt? There was that guy in the operating table?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was in the middle of getting a vasectomy. And the worst thing in the world that can happen, which is that there's an earthquake. I mean, I guess the second worst thing that could happen. The worst thing seems obvious, but the second worst thing is there is a earthquake. And he thinks the doctors are joking. And he goes, oh, is this a joke, doctor? Ha, ha, ha. And the doctor's like, no, I wouldn't joke in the middle of a vasectomy. That's bad for business. So he puts the tools down. The earthquake stops. The guy's fine. Long story short, the guy can't have babies anymore. But that was the plan. So it worked out.
That's a time you need intense stability around you.
You definitely want to make sure that you're not, you know, cutting things that shouldn't be cut. So I read this story and I got a little bit nervous. I was telling my wife about it. And I don't even know why she suggested this to me, but she said, oh, well, if I end up having to get a C-section, which happens, sometimes there's C-sections. Like with our first baby, we had to get an emergency C-section because things weren't going to according to plan. And, you know, they can get the baby out like super fast. And so we had a C-section. Not we. My wife had a C-section. When you get married, everything's a we. My wife had a C-section for our first baby. But then second, third babies, babies didn't need C-sections. They just came out naturally, which was great. We weren't sure if that would happen, but it did happen. But for this fourth baby, you know, the doctor's saying it could be a C-section, may not be. So they tell my wife, and then she tells me, and I get all excited about this. She says, you know, if I'm there and I'm having a C-section, they told me that they could just tie up the tubes. And that's where the eggs come from. And I think, I don't know how it all works. I wasn't allowed to take health class, but obviously, we figured it out. We have four kids. But she says, we can actually just tie up the tubes. And I'm thinking to myself, this is fantastic. This is great. Because I was very nervous about the whole snipping thing. You know, I've talked to all my friends about it. I've like started to try to, you know, seek their wisdom and counsel about their experience. And for the most part, everybody says it was fine. It went great. But it's still, you know, there's still things that you got to be careful about. So my wife tells me this thing. And I said, oh, my gosh. Sweetie, I couldn't love you anymore. This is fantastic. Not only to give me these four beautiful babies, but you also can get your tubes tied and then I don't have to worry about it. And then we don't have to worry about having any more kids. And this is a dream come true. It's a dream scenario. And she goes, no, I don't think I'm going to do it. And I said, wait a minute, what? If you're already getting a C-section, like, why wouldn't you do it? And she goes, well, because you haven't really contributed to the whole baby thing. And I was like, what are you talking about? I know I have. Because we have four of them, so I know I've contributed. And she says, no, 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 not that way. But she, what she means is like physically, every time that we have a baby, and she's not wrong about this, but every time she has a baby, she has to go through an entire 9-month body change where it's like everything about them changes. Not everything, but a lot of things about them change. And their whole outlook of the world is different. They have to buy weird clothes and they have to, they just like, the stuff doesn't fit the same way. Mentally, it's got to do something to you, just like changing so rapidly like that. And she goes, and you haven't really had, and I was like, I don't know, it's not my fault that my part, you know, I'm so great at, you know, that's just the way it works. So I don't think I should be held responsible for that. And she goes, no, 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 I think it would be better if you, if you got sniffed. And then we've both kind of done something for these babies. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like if you're already, if everything's already good to go and the doctors say that they can just, you know, I don't, again, I don't know how, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but if they can just go in there and tie something up, then I feel like that's the best thing that they should do.
And you're biased on this because it saves you having to get snipped.
Well, of course. Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I, yeah, that's how I feel about it. You guys can let me know how you feel about it. And then if I get enough of these, then my wife still won't care. And it looks like I'm going to have to get snipped. I can't convince her to not have, to have her tubes tied. That seems barbaric, but that's where we're at. And, you know, just it'll, what will be, and I'm kind of hoping that maybe she has a change of heart and maybe she just goes, you know, doc, while you're down there, tie him up and make my husband stay. All right. We got a lot to get to. We have a trivia clip I'm going to play for you really fast. Every night we do a trivia clip. I'll give you the answer to this at the top of the news roundup. You can also guess on the text line, 888-973-5476. That's the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Let me know. Take a guess. Good luck.
Ready?
Yep.
One, two.
No! Kelly Clarkson! Como se llama? Wow! I hate you! I hate you! Stop smiling, you jerk!
Ah, it sounds painful. It's not a vasectomy, but it's a different kind of thing. You can take a guess on that. All right, let's get into some newsy things. This story was crazy. We have like one story tonight that we're going to tell you that's a little bit depressing. This one's not really depressing. It's just scary. It has a, I guess, I don't know if there's a happy ending, but it doesn't have a horribly tragic ending. But there was a violent shooting at a Covington ATM on Friday night. There was a Good Samaritan nearby, thank the Lord, and he was there. He talked to Kyra 7 about it. Apparently, what's happening right now is the search is on for two men who allegedly opened fire on a woman using an ATM in Covington. She was standing there with her granddaughter. These two guys come up. They ask for money. There's a Good Samaritan nearby. His name is Cody Helvey. And I'll just let him describe what happened.
We just heard a couple of pops, you know, gunshots, and, you know, sometimes that could be anything. We could see the granddaughter was frantic, and we saw a car peel out of the parking lot. She said that two gentlemen walked up with guns and wanted $1,000. And she said, I don't have $1,000. And I said, we don't care. And she tried to kind of, you know, I guess argue with them or, you know, just try to defend herself. And they shot her twice. Took her purse afterwards, and she was saying there's no money in her purse, so why would they take that? And
so apparently this woman, she was, you know, according to the story, she was shot. She's hurt, but she's expected to survive. This was interesting. Kyra 7 noted this. They said, despite all of this, the ATM was very busy all day today. We've seen a parade of people using this BECU ATM. In fact, a lot of people didn't know about the shooting. I'm sure they wouldn't, unless there's a person there shot. Or a news reporter right there telling you, oh, somebody was shot at this ATM. But the woman who was shot on Friday night was doing what they are, trying to get money out of the ATM. But it had a really violent outcome. And Cody, again, he's the Good Samaritan. He says that the woman was shot in her right leg and lower abdomen. She was in pain when he got to her side, but she was alert. And he says her granddaughter was, thankfully, unhurt. But he says, yeah, it was a really crazy night, like one of the craziest things he's ever seen.
You're just getting money out with your granddaughter and you get shot on a random Friday night. It's definitely at the top of my list for craziest things I've seen in Covington.
All right, so here's another thing. So the reporters, Kyra 7, they were talking to some of the customers at this ATM. And they say, hey, now that you know that this violence is happening here, are you scared? Are you worried about this? Are you going to think twice about using an ATM? And this lady says, no, it's fine.
I feel like today's society, you could be shot doing whatever. And I know that's hard to believe.
So, you know, people are still going to keep using the ATM. Ultimately, let's see here. How does this wrap up? Kyra 7 says they do not know how the woman is doing. Good reporting. or whether she's still in the hospital. But based on Cody's description, it sounds like she will survive. He says he'd like to meet her and give her a hug. After all, they experienced something pretty terrifying together. I hope she's all right, obviously. We'll look into this and give you some better information. And I hope she's doing good, because that's really scary. All right, let's move on to other things. A little lighthearted. Everybody was talking about this. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but apparently there was a total eclipse today of the heart.
Once upon a time, there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
No, that's not true. It wasn't of the heart. It was actually a real solar eclipse. It was called, they call it a totality, which sounds very sci-fi. This was really funny, though, because everybody lost their minds about this today. It was the most popular story in all of news. Everybody was interested in the eclipse, and a lot of people were talking about it. A lot of people were reporting from the eclipse. There was all these different viewing parties. Basically, the best place to see it, as it turns out, was around Texas. I think that maybe they said that we could see like 5% of it here in Washington State. But of course, we have clouds, so you can see nothing. So we didn't see anything. But in Texas, they could see a lot. So MSNBC sent a reporter out to go witness the wonder that is the solar eclipse, and she lost her mind on camera. It's pretty fun.
Dark. You're in cheers. I think it's happening. I think it's happening.
Priscilla, put your glasses on.
Sure. She's just like staring up at the sun with no glasses, which again is not a good idea.
Put your glasses on. Experiencing
it. Thank you, Katie. Good looking out.
The other thing she's not doing here, which reporters generally do, is talking to a microphone. And so she's holding a microphone. She's just not talking into it. And I don't know if she's ever done a report before. I mean, I presume she has, since MSNBC sent her to this. And she's just looking up at the sky. She's staring at the sun with no glasses on. And at some point, she turns around to the people behind her who are also staring up at the sun, but they have eye protection. She goes, "What are you guys seeing?" And she goes and just starts talking to them. But again, she doesn't hold the mic to their face very well, so you don't even really hear what they're saying.
I can confirm there is only a slither left, a tiny, tiny ring.
Keep looking.
Oh, it is so cool. Okay, I'm keeping looking. There it is. It's happening. Yeah, it's completely gone. Literally this much. Oh! There it
now
is.
Now look at it now. You can see the outer ring.
Ah!
Oh my God. That is so cool. Katie, where would I be without you like narrating this for me? This is awesome.
Where's this ethereal music coming from? I think they had this on site. I don't think this is like MSNBC loading this. I think this is, wherever they were viewing this from, they had like an experiential music playing alongside, kind of a soundtrack.
What are you feeling? What's the temperature like?
I don't think I need my glasses for the totality. Yes, it is very cold. Literally feels like nighttime here. This is amazing, Katie. I have never seen anything like it. I want to try to get some reaction. I hope there's enough light on the camera. Can I ask you what you think of it?
It's amazing. And you can see the stars around it. It's incredible.
Have you ever seen anything like this? What do you think of it?
It's so cool.
Are you glad you came?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you looking up the whole time.
This is amazing.
Tell me what you're seeing.
He's describing something, but there's no microphone to his face, so we have no idea what he's describing.
It's so pretty. I heard that one back there.
And then this guy at the end just starts describing what an eclipse is, which we know. We don't need that. And so then she moves on. But people were losing their minds and freaking out about this, and it was really funny. On The View, Sunny, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Is it Hostin? Sunny Hostin? She was talking about the eclipse, and she was talking about there's a bunch of cicadas that are going to be coming out soon in Chicago. There's a crazy story on cicadas, by the way. We're going to get into that later, but she was talking about cicadas and the eclipse and the earthquake, and she was saying that maybe it's all has to do with climate change.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe...
They're actually all wrong. There's one grouping that comes out. I think they're actually called, what are they called? They're called, not pods, they're called something else. There's one grouping that comes out at 13 years, and there's another one that comes out at 12 years. But this grouping that's coming out right now, they're coming out at the same time, which almost never happens. And they're broods, I'm sorry, they're called broods, broods of cicadas. So these two separate broods of cicadas are coming out for the first time in like 200 plus years.
You know, maybe well, you know better. But
I would say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
or something is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
No.
It can't.
It happens. The eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen and they actually can say when these things are going to happen.
Yeah, the eclipse happens, you know, happens far out in space. The eclipse has nothing to do with climate change. It doesn't care what's going on the surface of the Earth. It knows nothing about carbon or anything like that. It doesn't care, really. I mean, the eclipse is totally fine, just an eclipse. It's still going to happen even if there is climate change or there's not. So I don't think the eclipse is related to that. Also, the earthquakes, again, like Joy Behar studiously points out there, it's earthquake. Doesn't care about climate change. So that was kind of a fun clip, too. All right, we got a ton coming up on the show. Like, so much stuff. We're not even going to get to half of it, but it's going to be a really fun show. I hope you guys can hang out for the entire thing. I hope you can stick around. Matt, tell them what we got.
All right, coming up on tonight's edition of Cairo Nights, we're joined by the host of the Jason Rantz Show, the one and only Jason Rantz. He's joining us to talk conjoined twins and John Fetterman. Also, some wild speculation about that eclipse with some must-hear audio. And is Donald Trump about to kill the Ozempic craze? Find out on tonight's Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, I got a special guest with me right now. If you guys have a chance, go on Instagram. We post these to X, formerly Twitter, sometimes. You can also find them on, I believe you can find them on the Cairo Nights webpage on mynorthwest.com. I think you can also find them over on the KTTH page at the Jason Rantz Show. And joining me right now is the aforementioned Jason Rantz from 770 KTTH. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so I wanted to try kind of a new format, something fun. I thought we'd just do kind of like a rapid fire. I'm going to throw some stories at you, just get your reactions.
Okay.
We can just kind of chat about some crazier stuff that I've seen in the news that maybe doesn't warrant like an entire segment, but maybe mm-hmm. if you put them all together, it will create some sort of a delicious stew for our audience.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, something. All right. Do you remember the TLC show about those conjoined twins? Their names were Abby and Brittany. Do you have any recollection of this?
I vaguely remember it.
All right. So here's their intro from TLC. Listen to this.
My name's Abby Hensel, and I'm Brittany Hensel. We are 22 years old. People have been curious about us since we were born, for obvious reasons. We're identical twins who aren't conjoined. But our parents never let us use that as an excuse. While life as a conjoined twin sometimes has its challenges, I like this, but I don't need it. We were raised to believe that we could do anything we wanted.
Anything they wanted. All right,
oh,
so
God.
Do you know this story? Do you know what I'm talking
no,
about?
No, but I already hate it because of that one sentence.
So that was them back in 2012. They are conjoined. I don't know if you've seen them, but they share a body. They each have one half. Like, they share the top half of, they have, I don't know how it works exactly, but they have one body that they each control half of, the upper half of the mm-hmm. body. The lower half of the body, they share. And so everything below the waist, and again, I don't know
yeah.
how all that stuff works, but everything below
with
the waist.
One single person.
Well, they just share everything. I don't know.
Yeah, they share. Okay, they share everything.
Yeah, they're conjoined twins. You get it. So they are now 34. That was back in 2012 when they were just graduating high school, I believe. They're now 34 years old. The one of the sisters, whose name is Abby, has just gotten married. And so she has married a guy. She's married a fella who is a former, let's see, I think he's a former, Was he Air Force? Doesn't really matter.
He's a vet.
He's a vet. And he has a kid, I believe, from a previous marriage. None of that really matters. What matters is he's married to one of them, and the other one is just kind of also there. How does this work?
Perpetual third wheel.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I don't understand, you know. I mean, like, God bless him. I hope the marriage goes great, but it's just one of those situations where you go,
yeah. I am
a lot of question marks.
I'm oddly more interested in him than I am of the conjoined twins.
Sure.
Because you've fallen in love with one of the two, right?
Yeah, I hope
presumably.
So. He married her. So, well, yeah, but I mean, so.
Are you also in love with the twin?
Like
who,
a sister wife situation.
Yeah. And I don't, based on what I know about the story, that's not the case, that
yeah,
he's in love
so.
With the one sister. And so I want to delve into why, how, what happened, how did you go down this path? Like, and I have to imagine it was also probably tough for him to, you know, cope with those feelings and be out in public. I just think because everyone is going to be having the same question.
Yeah, obviously you got to have you know, he's got to have thick skin. People are going to, you cannot not look at them.
Yeah.
We're talking about them on the radio.
They say that themselves and they
yeah.
know.
Yeah, they had a TV show based on because they have this unique experience in life and now he is a part of that experience.
And all of my questions and curiosities.
All mine too. I can't ask them.
Something to do with, yeah.
Yep. And I can't say it on the radio, but.
I mean, we can hint around it. So on your wedding night.
Yeah.
What does the other one do?
That's a great question.
Is she on like her phone?
A Kindle.
Or just reading?
Just reading.
It's like, are you guys done? Come on.
No, I just don't. Yeah, I don't.
It's a legitimate question.
It's a legitimate question. There's but a lot.
Doesn't it feel like we feel bad and we shouldn't feel bad,
I feel bad for asking? Yeah, I feel bad even
but
asking
everyone,
the question.
Why pretend that that's not the only thing people are immediately curious
okay,
about?
Okay, so they got married. Apparently, this news is just getting out. I don't know how mm-hmm. you kept this news a secret, but they got married, I think, back in 2021, and we're just seeing pictures of it now. We're just seeing videos from their wedding. Somebody's put out these things. And so now we know that they've been married. And yeah, you just kind of go, well, and probably the same question that people asked when people first met them back in 2012. Like, mm-hmm. well, how is this going to work later in life? You know, like, how are they dating and all that kind of stuff?
I just want to know, how is it that they're married and I'm still single?
That was my follow-up yeah. question to you.
Depressing.
You just have to be open to the, you know, the universe will send you the right person, Jason. Uh-huh.
A conjoined twin.
You know what? I know that one of them's available still. So I think you should go, you know.
Well, okay. So if you are, if someone else falls in love with
they
the
get
other,
do they
live in the same, they have to sleep together are you in a one bed, right?
These are impossible questions. These are impossible questions.
And do you get jealous?
Yes, of course.
Of the other husband who's having relationships with his own wife, but
a
shared body.
With a shared lower half.
I know it sounds like we're kind of joking. I am curious.
Not a joke.
You have to be really open-minded in order to be in this kind of a relationship.
Yeah, I think that's where we should leave it. We should be really
sure.
open-minded.
Yeah,
all right, here's
positive.
Another one. This is kind of fun. Senator John Fetterman. I've had like, I wouldn't say a complete 180 feeling on this guy, mm-hmm. but I will say I've had like a 75 degree turn on this guy. So when he was first running in Pennsylvania and he had a stroke and he couldn't put together like a cogent sentence basically, which is why they didn't let him talk to the press. They didn't let him do anything. And he just kind of like went away for a while. And then he beat Dr. Oz, even though he wasn't really running at the, I mean, he was running, but he wasn't doing much to get out there.
They were putting a lot of money into that campaign to compensate.
I know, but yes, you're correct. I mean, against anybody else, maybe it wouldn't have gone Fetterman's way. But they picked Dr. Oz, so they knew who they were running against, I guess. But Fetterman has done a lot of surprising things where he seems much more middle of the road than the guy that he was sold as. And as he has gotten better and better, and as his, like, you know, he's basically seems like he's back to normal. He still dresses like he's just coming out of the
total
gym.
Total slop, yeah.
But he says a lot of stuff that I go like, yeah, I kind of like what he's saying.
Do you think it was the stroke?
Like
that
he
did something to change his mind?
Like people who have injuries can suddenly play the piano or something.
Or I can suddenly speak French.
It's like a beautiful mind situation.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Kind of curious because he has done, and maybe we just weren't asking the right questions, but I mean, he certainly portrayed himself as being very, very, very fringe and far to the left, only to then come out on a lot of it. I mean, he's still fringe on some issues, but a lot of issues, Israel in particular, right down the. In fact, he's arguably more conservative on Israel than any other Democrat senator.
And this was what he said about squatters' rights. I thought this was interesting. He's talking about an interview last week. He was talking to New York Post, and he says squat. And I don't know why squatters have been in the news so much lately. It's kind of just like the story of the day. It's what people are talking about.
It's a new theme.
It's a new thing. And he was talking about. He said squatters have no rights. How can you even pretend that this is anything other than you're just breaking the law? He said, and this is, I thought this analogy was really good. He said, it's wild that if you go away on a long trip for 30 days and somebody breaks into your home and suddenly they have rights, this is crazy. Like if somebody stole your car and then they held it for 30 days, then somehow you now have some rights. He's absolutely right.
He's like 100% correct.
Any other situation, somebody steals your car, they don't just get to say, well, this is my car now because I've been driving it for a day and a half. So why does it apply to houses? It's just the weirdest thing that we've adopted this thing.
So the radical left has adopted this because they believe that housing is a human right, quote unquote. And when you have that kind of viewpoint, you can then justify this because there's no such thing in that world as private property ownership rights. If owning a home or being put in a condo, whatever it is, if that is your human right, that means someone else can't really truly own the money.
Like what Fetterman's saying, he's correct. Like he's a Democratic senator from Pennsylvania. These homes are owned by somebody. You cannot just go in and steal a home.
Yeah, the way the laws in most places are written, they either didn't think of this because this is really meant to protect people who are acting out in good faith and cannot pay rent.
Yeah, this is a tenant-landlord situation.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
not
by the way, I disagree with that whole line of thinking as well because it's still not your property. But I think that this clearly was taken advantage of by folks on the radical left who hold that viewpoint. And they're just running with it. I mean, these are people who you're trying to figure out the logic coming from folks who want to abolish police and prisons. So at some point, you can't quite actually make sense of it because it's truly an ideological position that's based in their feelings.
Yeah, and maybe can't always be explained.
Yeah.
And they can't articulate it, so they just say, if you live
they
in
like the
house.
Idea. They probably love the idea of not having to pay rent.
Well, yeah, everybody.
I mean, most of them are already in that position. They live in their parents' mother-in-law's.
Wouldn't everybody love to not have to pay for the homes that we live in?
Yeah.
But it's just the way the world works. All right, well, we've run out of time, but I like this rapid fire. We should do this again sometime.
This was two stories.
I know, but we
just
like
very rapid.
We chitter-chatted about it too long, but that's all right.
Chitter-chatted.
That's it. Oh, I had other good ones too. All right, Jason Rance from the Jason Rance Show. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is a really weird story. I'm just going to read you the CBS headline. If you ever want to like recommend this show to somebody, we appreciate a nice recommend. If you ever want to tell somebody what the vibe of the show is, then just send them this segment, I think. Here's the CBS headline. Hypersexual zombie cicadas that are infected with sexually transmitted fungus expected to emerge this year. That's pretty exciting. Here's what a cicada sounds like. All right, so what's going on with cicadas? Why is everybody talking about it? CBS actually talked to a cicada expert. She sounds really, really excited, as you would if your job is to study cicadas, a bug that only comes out like once every 12 to 13 to 17 years. You don't get a whole lot of chance to interact with them. So when one comes out in her neighborhood, when two broods simultaneously are coming out in her neighborhood, she is very, very, very excited.
According to experts, 2024 will be the year of the cicada, with upwards of 1 trillion expected to emerge this spring.
Joining us now to discuss it is Catherine Dana, cicada expert. How is 2024 different from other years when cicadas emerged?
You know, I've been looking forward to this for many years now because what we have is two different broods emerging in Illinois. So this is Illinois' big year, really. And these two broods have not emerged at the same time for 221 years. So no matter where you go in Illinois, it's going to be hard to escape the cicadas.
She is very excited. That segment goes on for a further 4 minutes. We are not going to play that whole segment, obviously, because it's 4 minutes about cicadas. But anyway, I also think it's interesting that she calls it broods twice. That clearly must be the technical name for a large grouping of cicadas. Like, there are funny names for these types of things. Like a group of crows, it's called a murder of crows. I'm sure you guys have heard that before, but I didn't know that a group of cicadas is called a brood of cicadas. All right, so here's the hypersexual zombie cicada in sexually transmitted fungus that everyone is talking about. Well, that you guys are going to be talking about now. It's kind of freaky, but I'm going to read you some of this information. And I found this fascinating. All right, so cicadas live underground for most of their life. They emerge every 13 to 17 years. This year, two broods, as we just played, will be emerging. With this convergence, and again, this is only like once every couple hundred years. It's crazy. These bugs will arrive in numbers that have not been seen in generations. An associate professor of mycology and forest pathology at West Virginia University spoke about this to CBS. He said, once the cicadas emerge from the ground, they molt into adults. And within a week to 10 days, the fungus causes the backside of their abdomens to open up. A chalky white plug erupts, taking over their bodies and making their genitals fall off. This doesn't sound fun. Let's see. The cicada continues to participate in normal activities like it would if it was healthy. This mycology professor said to CBS, he said, like it tries to mate. It flies around. It walks on plants. Yet a third of its body has been replaced by fungus and its genitals again have fallen off, which is really kind of bizarre. He went on to say that the reason the cicadas might be able to ignore the fact that their genitals have fallen off is that the fungus produces an amphetamine, which basically gives them like a stimuli that gives them lots of stamina and gets them out there. It makes them feel like, I guess, really sexy and feeling good about themselves. So they go and try to meet other cicadas. He says, but there's also something unusual about this. That's not the only thing. He says, there's this hypersexualized behavior. So the males, for example, they'll continue to try and mate with females unsuccessfully because, again, their genitals have fallen off, but they'll also pretend to be females to get males to come to them, and that doubles the number of cicadas that are infected. An infected individual comes into contact with, which just sounds awful for the cicadas. But that's what's going on in the world of cicadas. Hope you guys cared about that, like I did. We got a lot more coming up on the show. News roundups coming up next. Ton of other great stuff. Stick around. Right back here on Chiro Nights.